The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And hello and welcome back as we continue to talk about the situation in Kansas, formerly LSU, where Les Miles is unemployed. In case you missed it earlier, the headlines, of course, have been screaming since last night that Les Miles and Kansas have mutually parted ways. That's a rather benevolent way of putting Les was shown the door. He had a disastrous run there, but it was what happened in 2013 at LSU that ultimately got him fired. Bruce Feldman has covered Les Miles for a very long time. And Bruce, thanks so much for the time this afternoon. A lot we want to talk to you about, including your piece that just hit about the NFL mock draft. But let's start with Les Miles. Not a surprise, but what do you think finally pushed Kansas over the edge and did away with Les after what has been coming out for days, if not weeks, from Baton Rouge?
Paul, I really think it was untenable. Just the idea. Kansas is Jeff Long's the AD there, who obviously SEC fans will remember from his time at Arkansas. It's just been an abysmal run. And the fact that his search process to get Les Miles there in the first place was kind of a jolt and kind of a head scratcher. But now, after what had come out from over the weekend and Friday from the LSU part of this, I don't know how in 2021 Kansas could say, oh, yeah, we're okay with that. Just even if you look at the wording on how Jeff Long explained the move last night, it was just like, we got to win more games. It was like, wait a minute. There were some really disgraceful actions that are alleged against Les Miles from his time at LSU. And I don't know how they could look the other way with a straight face and say, okay, this was a guy who the LSU administration had clearly put some, you know, unique situations around him and stipulations in dealing with people. And some of those allegations are so troubling and so disturbing. I really think they had no choice but to move on, and the wording parted ways, whatever. They just had to make a change and get him out of there. And I suspect at some point in the not too distant future, they're going to have a new AD as well.
Yeah, that was obviously where a lot of people are going now. And you know, Jeff Long didn't exactly distinguish himself at Arkansas, was shown the door there. And surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, the program has been on fire under Hunter Yerichek. But I mean, how can you possibly keep Jeff Long on the job after? I mean, and football is only part of the problem. The basketball program has been under fire for years.
Exactly. I mean, there's issues with the NCAA and the basketball program, and obviously, basketball is a bigger deal there than football. But I think in this, it's so many issues that are layered together, and I think it's the tone deaf aspect. Jeff Long's long relationship with Les Miles, the allegations and the things in those investigations about Les, they are really disturbing, especially as they relate to student workers there. I think it's really troubling. And the fact that KU and Jeff Long, the way it was explained, even if you look back, I think over the weekend, Les Miles' attorney gave a statement that I think made Kansas look quite honestly even worse, that they kind of knew about it and that they were okay with it. It was almost like, well, because other people were alarmed by it now, that it was something that was like shouldn't have happened. It just, because of the perception on it, I just think all of it has made that tenure look so sketchy. And I just don't know how you're Kansas, how you don't kind of rip the Band-Aid off at this point and say, hey, we got to make a different move here. I just think right now, you know, you look at it, yes, the NCAA extended the dead period much longer, so they don't really have to rush in through this coaching search process, but who's going to be making the new head football coach hire in this? I mean, this is a lot of stuff for the Kansas administration to sort out as they move on, not just from Les Miles, but I think as they move in a different direction for who's in charge of the athletic department.
Yeah, Bruce, you mentioned Les Miles' attorney whose statements have been laughable. It just appears to me and maybe others that Les Miles' decision-making when it comes to hiring attorneys is almost as bad as his end-of-the-game clock management. But let's move on to another situation which is more pressing for young college players all over the country, where pro days are happening today, tomorrow, and really for the next few weeks. You did a very deep dive on the draft. And not only that, you just didn't, throw a bunch of names up in the air and see what would stick. You talked to people that really matter in the industry. Take us through your mock.
Yeah, so really what it is, it's looking at it from talking to college coaches. I've talked to dozens of them in the last couple of weeks about these prospects, about what they like, what they maybe don't like, how they viewed them as getting prepared for them. Some coaches who actually coach the players. And it was fascinating to hear some of the things about certain players. Like I knew, like you, Devontae Smith was a phenomenal player at Alabama. I did not know. One of the anecdotes I got from this, from talking to a coach in the SEC, was he talked about how their players would come off the field after a drive and go, "He's calling out our coverages." And basically what they found out was Devontae Smith would go back to his coaches and basically debrief them. And he was pretty much always right about what he was seeing and deducing from what teams were trying to do. So, yeah, we know he is a great receiver, but I think some of the nuance about what makes some of these players so good, whether it's Devontae Smith's intelligence and football acumen, and whether it's like the strength that you see from Jamar Chase and how he is just different from a lot of other receivers, strong hands, super strong lower body, great ability to make these contested catches. I think some of those detail things are what the NFL is really trying to get at. So, it's fascinating to see also, there's a linebacker at Kentucky whose stock is about to blow up because you just hear about this guy. It wasn't really a one-year wonder, Jameen Davis, but he was a guy who was expected to be a really good player in 2019 and then had a hamstring injury right before the season. And now NFL teams are discovering he was really productive this year, but he's super versatile. He's a really long, athletic guy who they expect to test really well. You're talking about pro days, his explosiveness and athleticism should be showcased. And so I think now, because this process, no combine, scouts couldn't be on the road the way they normally were in 2020. It's fascinating to hear about maybe these are later discoveries that people know these guys were good because they've seen the film. But I think now, just in terms of the intel they're trying to gather, I think it's just different this year than it is in normal years. So that was one of the things I really tried to get at in this story on The Athletic today.
Bruce, Trevor Lawrence obviously is going first, but after that, you had some very interesting picks, especially a couple of quarterbacks really in the top four or five in the draft. How did you arrive at that?
Well, it was really from talking to the people, the coaches and the scouts I did talk to for this. The buzz on Zach Wilson is very interesting because he was really on nobody's radar about a year ago at this time. At BYU, because of COVID and how it affected their scheduling, they didn't play many very good teams. Normally, they would play, and they had these teams on their schedule for the Power 5 opponents. So the scheduling, they were better than everybody they played. In 2019, where his numbers were nowhere near what they were this year, he was also played hurt a lot. So I think you see a guy who physically, he wows coaches with his arm talent. I mean, they rave about how the ball jumps out of his hand, his ability to throw accurately on the move, all these crazy off-platform throws. But then there's some other question marks about the level of competition, the durability. He's not as big as Justin Fields. He's certainly not as big as Trey Lance. Two of the other guys who are in that consideration after Trevor Lawrence. I mean, when Justin Fields looked phenomenal against Clemson, he didn't look very good against Northwestern, right? And so I think for scouts who are looking at body of work, they're trying to figure out who is he going to be in the NFL, right? I mean, Dwayne Haskins, the last Ohio State quarterback, looked great in the 1 year he played at Ohio State, and then he really struggled in Washington and is already gone from that. You know, Trey Lance, North Dakota State, had an amazing 2019, really his only year of playing. So now they're going to figure out, or try to figure out, what are we getting in the NFL? I know a lot of people try to, you know, make the comparison of Dak Prescott, you know, a powerful, can run, smart kid, super competitive, and they see a lot of that in Trey Lance.
Fantastic article. You should check it out on The Athletic. Bruce, thank you very much, as always, for dropping by. I know you got a lot going on. We appreciate it. We will talk soon, hopefully. You got it. Great stuff from Bruce. As we continue, much more to come on the program. We'll talk to the chairman of the Men's Basketball Committee a little bit later on. He's also the athletic director at University of Kentucky. And the head basketball coach at the University of Tennessee, Rick Barnes, right around the corner. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And it is the eve of the SEC basketball tournament, and all eyes will be on Nashville beginning tomorrow night. And eventually our next guest will make it over about 2.5 hours from Knoxville to Nashville to partake. We're joined by Coach Rick Barnes of the University of Tennessee. Coach, thank you very much. It's great to have you on. And I'm wondering, if someone who has literally seen it all in your career, from Final Four appearances to Elite Eights to number one rankings, how would you describe this utterly bizarre season that was under the cloud of COVID?
You know, Paul, I think you said it, utterly bizarre. The other night was the first time all year long when we were Sunday getting ready for the game, we had a little time to talk about our seniors. And it was the first time that I literally have stood up in front of our team in our what is a make-do meeting room and took my mask off. And I really wanted them to take their mask off because I wanted to see their faces. I really just miss seeing them. Even when I talk to players after practice, you know, they were 6 feet apart. I have a mask on. And then if I'm sitting talking to one, they're in a chair 6 feet apart. It's been really hard, and I really admire the players for what they've done to try to help us all get through it, and certainly everybody that's involved, just to get us to this point.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I think as a result of what you said and what we've seen all year, we've seen a lot of unpredictability, and I'm sure that would be applicable to even your own team.
You're right in the fact that, you know, it's the feel. I think that coaches do have a feel for their teams, but it's hard to have a feel for people when you don't get to look them in the eye. Well, you do look them in the eye, but you don't get to see their face, their expressions. And so it has been hard that way, and we've, other than our two seniors, you know, relatively young guys playing, you know, three young guys playing or three new guys playing a lot of minutes. But I think you look around college basketball where you see a team that can get beat by 25, 30, then turn around the next night and beat somebody by 30. I do think it's been so unpredictable, and I do believe that emotions have played a big part in it, where, you know, players, you think about our players, we've tried to do everything right in terms of the way we've been told to handle the COVID, and they leave us. We haven't had any meals together except the night before a game, and then they go back to their dorms, and we ask them to stay apart there with the contact tracing. So everybody kind of goes their own way, and it feels almost like Groundhog Day. You get back up and do it again the next day, and it just seems like each day just runs into each other.
As a coach who has had, you know, phenomenal success in tournaments, I know there isn't a template for this week in Nashville and obviously next week when everybody heads to Indiana. So what do you rely on to try to find some commonality? And I say all this as your team did end the season quite well the other day against Florida.
Well, you know, Paul, we get over there, and our shooting time in the arena is at 7:15 Thursday morning. We had a 30-minute time there, and we'll leave that open as an optional time for our players. And we have some guys that have already told us they want to be able to go in there for those 30 minutes, and then I think we get an hour at Memorial Coliseum, which in the past we would have handled that ourselves, but staying within the SEC bubble, you know, that's our time. And so we're not going to go to a Belmont or a late David Lipscomb or wherever we might decide that we could get a place. So that's different. And so we'll get our work done here tomorrow as much as we can, because we don't know who we'll play yet. You know, there's possibility of three teams, so we'll do as much as we can. But I do think this time of year, it's mostly about us. We'll do a lot of preparation for this game coming up on Friday in a ballroom at where we're staying, and do that and film, obviously. But so once that game's over with, once we know who we're going to play, we'll get together. But the prep work will be done in a ballroom.
In terms of your tournament, in relation to your tournament experience, Coach, what have you seen? I mean, great players obviously have something to do with it, especially some of the ones that you had 2 years ago and Kevin Durant at Texas. But is there something that you lean on, at least mentally, that helps prepare you to help prepare them for what we are about to see?
Yeah, Paul, I think what I've learned through the years, and I've had some great people I've been able to talk to about this time of year, and obviously been around doing a long time, I think the real key is that your team is fresh mentally. I think that's the biggest part. I think that you want them to be as fresh as they can possibly can be when it's time to go, especially in a tournament that if you want to win it, you know, you're going to have to play, what, three straight days and do that. So this week is a week that you know you can't do a lot this time. Just everything's got to be short and sweet. But with that said, we look around. Now I'm starting to watch a little more college basketball this week. And you watch a team like Appalachian State, who punched their ticket last night against one of my former assistant coaches. They had a guy that got hot. And, I mean, he started shooting the ball. They had lost 7 out of 8 games coming into their tournament. They end up winning it. And we've seen that happen. And so you see some teams that can limp in to this time of year and just catch lightning in a bottle. Then you have some teams that are really on a roll. Then all at once, it doesn't work. But the key, what you want to do is handle your preparation. If you can just handle your preparation and really believe that you're ready for the game when it starts, that's all you can ask of your players. And from, like I said, a coach's standpoint, it's our job to keep them fresh mentally, that you want them in a great frame of mind where they are excited about playing, and then physically you want them to be at their very best.
Coach Rick Barnes with us. Coach, it is hardly breaking news that the SEC has exploded in recent years with a lot of outstanding coaches, and I think you coming over here helped play a big role in that, and then what we saw 2 years ago with the number one seed. But how would you describe the current state of basketball in this league?
You know, Paul, I think it's as good as any league in the country, and I think we're going to still be fighting to break down a number of years of perception where it wasn't a good league, it was an athletic league. But you look around, you look at the success, so many coaches in our league, and we've got a league full of terrific coaches. We really do. And when you have that, you know you're going. When you have coaches that have, I think, that are experienced, that have been around, their teams get better. And you look in our league, how many teams I think have gotten better from start to finish. And then you look at the level of competition, and we're turning out guys that are one and done going to the NBA, and that's obviously the last couple of years that's taken place. But we have continued to kind of replenish it. Then you go back to our challenge with the Big 12 this year. We won that, the first time, I think, in 2 years. So the league is terrific. It really is. I know there's been perception of it in the past that I said when I came into the league on a bad year, we should get six teams in the NCAA tournament. But this is not a bad year in the SEC. This is a year where I like to see us get seven, maybe eight teams, depending on what happens in the tournament. But I just think the future, I think what's happening with the officiating, with what the office has done, the SEC office has done, bringing in Mike Eads, all that, I just see great days ahead for the SEC.
Coach, one more question on that you mentioned, and I would agree with you, no matter how much success this league has, and what a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, there was, I think, eight in the NCAA tournament, and you just being such a centerpiece 2 years ago, why do you think it is that, and I don't know, maybe it's media, I have to assume, perception of the basketball elite, but why can't this league, or what will it take for this league to scrape all that away?
I think consistency this time of year, I think, matters a lot. I do think that. I mean, you go back every year when you look at the preseason poll, I mean, it's pretty much the teams that you would expect to be there every year, regardless of what they've got coming back or where they are. That's kind of ingrained, I think, and I do think the media plays into that, which that's their job to do what they do. But I think for us to really turn it is to have success this time of year, and if we can do it a number of years, back-to-back, I think that will help us as much as anything.
Great conversation. Coach, all the best in Nashville and beyond. We really appreciate you making time.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Always great to catch up with Rick Barnes, the head coach at the University of Tennessee. We have a lot to do. We'll talk to the chairman of the Men's Basketball Committee, Mitch Barnhart, in the next hour. He's the AD at Kentucky. And we'll get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back here on a Tuesday afternoon. We're going to get to your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. Two guests already with Bruce and Coach Barnes. Let's give you some headlines from this day. And the awards are out for the Southeastern Conference. Coach of the Year, who is it? Nate Oates from Alabama. Herb Jones wins Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. Scholar Athlete of the Year goes to Vanderbilt. Freshman of the Year, Moses Moody of Arkansas. And the Sixth Man of the Year, JT Note from Arkansas as well. So that is on the eve of a lot of debate has centered around who would get Coach of the Year. Would it be Nate Oates or Eric Musselman? And I don't think that was an easy choice, but Nate Oates is also a candidate for National Coach of the Year. Other headlines today. A committee finds no racist intent in the Eyes of Texas song. There may be a few people who disagree with that. And in Michigan, some things never change. The athletic director up there says Jim Harbaugh does not face a wins quota in 21. He can have another bad season and we'll be pleased as punch. That's not what he said. Those were my words. But I'm just doing some interpretation of Michigan ease. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. 855-242-7285. And Mel starts it off in Florida. Hey, Mel, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, happy Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
I was calling about this story about Rush Probst. I'm sure you've read the gory details.
I've tried to.
Yeah, assuming it's all untrue, it's still not a good look. Obviously, people are going to believe it whether or not. But what's his agenda? What's going on, Paul?
Well, remember something here, and let's just, for the sake of argument, assume it's all true that he said it. That's him on the tape. He was
right.
I think, if I remember correctly, he was having a conversation with the head of his booster club. Was he not?
I believe you're correct.
So this is not Rush Probst going public saying, "I think this nefarious things are going on." at this school, at that school, at others. He's just talking like coaches talk. And I will tell you, Mel, coaches talk like that. Coaches are all usually it's competitors, but even a coach like Rush Probst, who knows all these people, I really don't know the context, and it's like in any courtroom, you play an excerpt of something out of context, and you can get multiple meanings, but he was simply explaining. This is how it's done at this school, at that school, and other schools. And you know, would he know? Yeah. Remember, Jeremy Pruitt is one of his closest friends. He worked for him at Hoover High School. He's been a head football coach at some of the best high schools in the South for 20 years. Every one of these coaches has been in his office trying to recruit his players. So he knows the way the game is played. I'm not giving any credibility to what he said. I know Rush very well. I've had many private conversations with him, nothing along the lines of what we may or may not have heard in these tapes.
Well, even if it's completely just coach speak, idle talk, you know, people are going to believe it, and they're going to say, well, we told you so. Alabama and Georgia are paying players, and that's why they're recruiting first and second or third. It's just not good optics.
Yeah, but Mel, it's like the situation at Tennessee when that, I think it was Dan Patrick or somebody who talked about the McDonald's. I don't know if that's true or not. But like you said, once something gets into the wash, there's no way to undo it. And yes, but even if these things are true, and I'm not being flippant here. I spent the early days of my career as an investigative reporter, this stuff does matter to me. But even if the allegations are true, what's going to be done about it is my question. Do you think it's a certain way at one school and not a certain way at another?
Yeah, that's a good point. One last point, and this applies to this situation or Les Miles, but one of my favorite quotes that helps keeps me grounded and humble when I think my head's getting big is that every 24 hours, the world rolls over on somebody sitting on top of it.
You're right.
And that's a good thing to remember.
Thank you very much, Mel. I like quotes like that because they do keep us all humble. And for some of us, that's very difficult. I will say one more thing about Rush Probst. I know he's being vilified right now. He's having a particularly tough time where he is, and I sincerely doubt his future is very bright. He has been a very good high school football coach, one of the best ever. But he's always been linked to trouble. He's been unable to outrun controversy, and that's just who he is. But if anyone is going to ask me or wants to ask me, do I think anything will come out of this? The answer is no, I don't. I think this is very hard to corroborate. It's impossible to corroborate unless Rush Probst comes out and says, yeah, it's all true. Let me give you a chapter and verse. And the odds of him doing that are very slim. How about infinitesimal? Let's get back to the calls and check in with Jackson, who is up next. Hello, Jackson.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I was asking if you thought Rush Probst was the most untrustworthy man in the South.
Well, let me ask you this. I know his resume pretty well. I've always found him to be...
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, strangely, a straight shooter, you know, untrustworthy. Yeah, I mean, you can go there in terms of the fact the guy had a secret family. Not a good look. But,
no.
You know, he has not gotten along with administrators. Is he a hothead? Yeah. But, you know, I think the problem for Rush Probst is this. He was heading to be a head coach at either a Group of Five school or maybe even a Power Five school years ago, and his career, because of his own demons, got in the way. And I don't think he's ever recovered from that. And he continues to win championships. He continues to have an effect on people, but he can't outrun trouble.
Yeah, I believe that too. I mean, he almost got that Alabama head coaching job, but
yeah.
He won how many state championships in a row at Hoover? 4 or 5. He got the 2-a-day show. And I think after he didn't get that Alabama job, things kind of went south for him.
Well, if you're asking me, Jackson, could Rush Probst do damage to a lot of people if he did a tell-all book for the sake of argument? Yeah, of course he could. He knows the way the game is played. And let's forget college football for a second. Rush Probst could blow the lid off high school football in the South. I mean, he could
easily.
We all know there are power programs that operate like colleges, and there's not anybody out there watching who's familiar with high school football in big and small towns who hasn't heard a story about a young man moving from one part of town to another. So he could go to a better school. It happens all the time. I've heard a million of them, and so have you. And Rush Probst ran one of the, he ran a football. He ran a football factory at Hoover High School. Let's be honest.
He did, and then once he kind of left Hoover, he did the same thing in Georgia about those.
Yeah, but guess what, Jackson? Everywhere Rush Probst has gone, he's won, and he's had boosters supporting him, and. You know, there's a reason why you hire a guy like that, because he wins. Anyway, let's take a break before we either praise him or bury him too quickly. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and we are open for business here. Busy first half hour with Bruce Feldman and Rick Barnes. We have Mitch Barnhart coming up. He's the University of Kentucky AD. He's also the head of the men's college basketball committee. He'll be making the big calls with his committee in a couple of days, very soon, I should say. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Butch is up next. Hey, Butch, thanks. Great to hear from you.
Hey, thank you for having me, Paul. It's been probably 20 years since I called. Go back to Palm Tree Country Club.
Oh, my goodness. I do remember those days.
I was the bad boy, yeah. They're just trying to rake Rush over the coals, and this guy has built so much. You know, he was a winner way before the MTV thing. You know, I'm a Hewitt Trussell guy, so that's why, you know, at same region and everything else, people don't realize. This guy has done nothing but been recorded what every coach talks about. High school, if they're a big high school or a big college, they know what's going on, and they talk to each other. And it's just, they can't act ignorant to it.
No, of course not. And I think the but you wouldn't, of course, because you're exposed to it. But I think the average person, and I don't mean to classify that, but I think just a casual sports fan, I should say, would be shocked at what happens in high school athletics.
Of course, it started in college and it's still in college. Every coach that everybody just adores has had a call just like this in the past month, probably once a month. They know everything that's going on, and if they don't, they don't deserve where they need to be.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, it used to be that basketball was the dirty sport in high school with the AAU, but football isn't far behind right now. And
7-on-7. Yep.
Yeah, you have. I mean, if you're Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or any major coach, you have to have some distance between you and what's going on. But you have to. You have to protect yourself. But you also know what's happening, though.
He's won a lot of games no matter where he is.
Right.
And no matter what. But I'll tell you this. I've met him 2 times, and he's, like you said, a straight shooter.
No, I mean, I know it's not popular to say that I've always liked Rush Probst because, you know, he is, people are just taking the baseball bat to the pinata right now. But he is.
And he's the sacrificial. He's this week's, you know. And there'll be more.
And I would say if it had not been for,
when does the outrage stop?
Yeah,
everybody could act blind to it, but it's the business. These guys are making their money. They're feeding their families.
Yeah,
they're going to do everything they can.
Had it not been for the personal failings at Hoover, he would have been a college head coach.
Yeah, that's true. He's great at it. Thank you for the.
Thank you. Yeah.
Time,
no. I mean, I know it's easy to take shots, and I'm not. I don't really. I know what the tape purports. All I'm saying is that him on the tape? And if, even if it is, what does it mean? It's sensational, but what's it all about? How about JJ in Knoxville, Tennessee? Hello, JJ.
Yes, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First time caller, but I've watched you from day one.
Thank you.
I've always wondered why when everybody asks you how you're doing that you don't use Rick Bragg's line.
What did Rick say?
When they ask him how he's doing, if he's doing good, he says, yeah, I'm good, but it's early.
Well, Rick has always been one.
I figured you could use that. The other thing I wondered was Anderson still writing at the Journal or Seiler there at the Sentinel when you were in Knoxville?
Tom Seiler was about to retire, but I got to know him and spent time with him. And not only that, Tom Seiler tried to help me get a job out of college. He was one of the greatest the greatest people I've ever met.
So you knew him. What
yes.
about Tom Anderson at the Journal?
I vaguely remember Tom. I knew Ben Bird very well,
right.
Who was a wonderful guy, and Russ Bebb. I remember those two. I didn't know Tom as well, but yeah, Ben was on all the basketball trips.
The reason I was asking about Anderson, I was Knoxvillian in UT there in the late 50s. And, of course, he was big time there, and I think
right.
in the 40s and 50s. But I'd heard stories about him, like I guess he would do well now when you just send. But I'd heard, like, he only went uptown to Gay Street about once every 2 or 3 years that a runner would come by about midnight to pick up his column to take up to the Journal.
Oh, no, J.J., I didn't know that. And by the way, before anyone gets upset Gay Street, when I was in college, was the main street in Knoxville.
Is
it still?
Yeah.
I haven't been downtown.
Everybody doesn't know that, right?
Yeah, I haven't been downtown Knoxville in a while, but, I have been. But,
well, the Tennessee Theater's still there, just
okay.
like it was. One other thing I was wondering about was.
Hey, I hate to do this, JJ, but we're about to run out of time. We'll finish this conversation soon. Thank you for the call.
All